Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, yours truly, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful that you can join us tonight, and we look forward to, another hour and a half of informative dialogue. And on behalf of Building Families and Communities Institute, which is the sponsor of this national dialogue addressing urban American issues, we're grateful that you can join us. Those of you that are following us on live stream with Facebook, as well as those of you who are joining us from the Blog Talk Radio platform. We're going to be opening up our phone line in just a minute, and the number to give us a call here is 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. We welcome your question or comments. All we ask is that we keep it civil and that we have good, wholesome dialogue. I don't expect everybody to agree with me. And nine times out of ten, we won't agree with everybody. But the good thing is that we can walk away in agreement, all right, if it's nothing else but to agree to disagree. So we're grateful for you joining us. Pastor Ricky Waller is our regular panelist, who is with us again tonight. And we have our regular callers. Look like they're in queue already. We'll be right with you. We're going to try to make our monologue very short. Now, during a previous episode, as we talked about the electoral process, we discussed the civil rights movement. And specifically, we talked about the role of late Dr. James Luther Bevel, Sr. You guys have heard his son, Don Bevel, who lives in Selma, Alabama now. We are hoping to have him to join us tonight because we're spotlighting him. And he has brought up several times in some of our past conversations things from his dad's repertoire or experience, influence, contribution, particularly to the civil rights movement and the efforts to get voters right. I promised him that we would highlight that in a way that we don't overtake our comment or conversation for the evening. So tonight, speaking from the topic, how did actually the civil rights movement affect urban America? Was that good or was that bad? Lattimore is going to help me intimate this thought tonight. But that's where we are. And again, we hope that he'll be able to join us tonight, Selma, Alabama. Having said that, let me get right to my monologue here. again, the topic is, how did the civil rights movement affect urban America? We're having a conversation, a virtual conversation, I should say, with one of its beloved sons. 2 Chronicles, the chapter and the 14th verse says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, most understandably, many people, when they hear of the civil rights, they often think of it or see it from the lens of the activities that transpired in the 50s and the 60s. However, in reality, we talk about the concept of civil rights in America, it actually began with the push for the 13th Amendment in 1863, where it formally, ultimately outlawed slavery in 1865. Following that, in 1868, the 14th Amendment guaranteed the rights of citizenship to former slaves to be treated fairly and equally. And subsequently, by 1870, the 15th Amendment, which is the suffrage amendment, allowed Negroes in America to vote in American elections all across the country. Now, in the latter was the real father of Negro civil rights in America, and that was Frederick Augustus Douglass. Okay? His influence is well described in the work of author Philip Warner, who wrote a book entitled 5 Volumes, The Life and Writings of Frederick Douglass. Now, beyond Douglass, we've seen many people strive to add on and to build on to those efforts, civil rights in America. Tonight, we're going to, as I said earlier, engage virtually conversation of the late Dr. James Bevel, and how that played out during the 50s and 60s, often referred to as the architect of the new civil rights movement or the modern civil rights movement. I'm speaking now of Reverend Dr. James Luther Bevel, Sr. Dr. Bevel was a major strategist in the civil rights movement, and he served as the director of Direct Action and the director of the Nonviolent Education for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. He was responsible for initiating and strategizing and directing the developing of the plans and the organization for many of the movement's achievements. Because of his genius during this era, he's often dubbed the strategist or the architect of the civil rights activities of the movement, father of voting rights. In 1864, we had the Voting Rights Act. And his efforts really helped embolden the efforts of the SCLC, Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Get that. Now, there's some of his other things. Now, here's what's interesting about it. And you've heard Don talk about our work together. I had the pleasure of being an understudy with Dr. Bevel back in the early 2000s. And we had a chance to interview him. Much of my research relative to the African-American male experience and this urban dialogue that we're having now is based on hours of interview with him and conversation information relative to what was on the mind of Dr. King and the others during the civil rights struggle. But more importantly, how is it that we can take that information and apply it to this present generation? Because there are some young people who have no clue. They're totally detached from those efforts. Okay? But let me just highlight some of the other things that Dr. Bevel was known of. He was very close to Dr. King, and served in the United States Naval Reserve, the Navy man. Alumni of American Baptist Theological Seminary in Nashville, Tennessee. He's a recipient of the Southern Christian Leadership Rosa Parks Award in 1965. Organized the Selma Movement, the Nashville Student Movement, and Students for National, the SNCC, as well as Open Chicago Housing Movement. He was a candidate for United States Congress in 1984. Now, he passed in December 19, 2008. But prior to that, he introduced a program called SEEK, which is entitled Students for Education and Economic Development. And I must say that a lot of my approach to empowering young men economically in America, particularly in urban America, it's predicated on his efforts, his work, his research. And I'm happy to say that I have found that there are some very, very positive things that come from it. Okay? Lastly, he collaborated in 1995 with Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Reverend Dr. Benjamin Chavis as they put together the Million Man March in Washington, D.C. All right. Now, throughout the show, I'm going to ask a few questions and engage our listening audience. Again, the number is 657-383-0944. And I hope that when we pose these questions virtually to Dr. Bevel, you think about them and you give me your response as well. We'll give you an opportunity to engage us on that. But before I do that, I want to go to Lattimore because, you know, I had a conversation with a older and the younger gentleman. An older gentleman was probably in his 80s or so, and he was trying to impress upon me and other younger gentlemen how important it is people not to forget the struggle people died for and fought for, the civil rights and everything. It's important that they know that. And the young man said, interestingly enough, "They didn't do it for me. I didn't ask him to do it." It wasn't funny, but I was like, wow. That rolled off his lip real quick. Hey, what they got to do with me? And so I left the conversation saying to myself, there are some things with this disconnect in generation we really got to straighten out. And I thought about my friend right here when he said, listen to him just for a second. Don't tell. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Doctor. And as Lattimore said, there are some things, clearly, we need to straighten out. And we go straight to the telephone lines. And hopefully somebody can help me tonight get them straightened out. Pastor Ricky Wallace is here with us, as well as my good friend, Outcast, and that beautiful lady out of Peoria, Illinois. 8112, a.k.a. Mama D. Pastor, how you doing, sir?
Yeah, I'm all right. How you doing, Pastor Doctor?
Man, I got to straighten a few things out. Can you help me out tonight?
Yeah, I think you're already on the right track. I know that.
All right, yeah. All right. Let me go to Mama D. How you doing, darling?
Hey, love. How are you guys?
Good, good. You going to help me straighten something out tonight?
I'm not a politician person. I can't help you. I don't
know. No, she didn't.
I'm better trying to listen. Maybe I can learn something from because I can't help you.
Okay, all right. Outcast, you a politician, man.
Yeah, well,
I'd probably kick you every day trying to stay alive.
Well,
I might get a bull bar.
Okay.
I'd probably kick you every day.
Okay, all right. Listen, you know, something that was very poignant was, and it brought me to the point, I wonder if the older gentleman understood this, guys. Everything he'd been through, it was real for him, right? It was surreal. But for the young fella, it was something that had no real relevance because somebody didn't teach him that. Now, who do we hold accountable for that? So does that negate the civil rights movement and its efforts? Anybody?
I'll repeat that, please.
Yeah. The fact that the young man said, I didn't ask them to do that for me. I didn't tell them to die for me. I don't know why they did it. Does that negate the importance of the movement?
Yes or no?
I would say, you know, it doesn't negate the fact that, you know, people before us and during our lifetime, you know, they did certain things to try to make it better for blacks. But I do keep this in mind. If you don't know history, it will repeat itself, and history does repeat itself.
Right.
Since you're talking, look at Rosa Parks. Look at Rosa Parks, what she did. In the bus boycott, whatever. And look what happened to her in the home. Robbed her, beat her, $50. You can go on back down to Geronimo. You can hit a whole lot of Malcolm X, all of them, you know? And the same thing continuously happening. But at the end of the day, no, he didn't ask no one. He didn't ask them to do that. They did what they did for the people, you know? And,
okay.
That's just my take on that. But
I'm gonna ask. We're gonna get a response from Dr. Bevel about that. But let me ask 8112. What do you think about 8112? Do you think it negated what was done just because this young man didn't have a clue about it?
No, I don't. I think that it is what it is, as well as that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he died for a reason, a cause, a purpose.
Right.
It did not go unnoticed because he lost his life for it. I think Malcolm X, on the other hand, did the same thing as well.
Sure, he did.
I respect both of them to the highly and the utmost. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, I have a dream. His dream came true, that one day young black boys and white girls and white children all will be able to play with each other. That's here.
Malcolm X,
speech of freedom, far as I know, is here. Now, if you want to be enslaved within yourself, that's on you.
Okay.
Because you do have a choice now because of these forefathers that laid that path for us is what I think.
Okay. What about it, Pastor, before I go to Dr. Bell? What do you think about that, Pastor?
You know, I just like dealing with truth, man. I don't even tap into my own opinion because I could be wrong. But if I go on what I heard you say earlier in the monologue and then you came along and utilized scripture, I'd rather stand on the scripture than to do anything else. And you said, my people. That's what you said. If my people, you said, right?
That's what the text said. That's what the text said.
That's what I'm saying. I heard you say that. So if the text said that, and he said, if my people who are the called by my name,
right?
The first thing he said, is humble themselves and pray.
Watch out.
Seek his face. And he said things like that. I saw the order of that. And then he said, turn from your wicked ways. So it must be something about change. You know, you're talking about let's straighten it out. Okay, if there's something wicked going on that's within me, I would like to have it straightened out. And if the older guy versus the young guy, you understand what I'm saying? Just like myself, I use myself as an example, young, dumb, full of fluid, always ready to do it. That was me. I was young. So here come wisdom trying to share something with me, you know, and I reject it. It's not the wisdom fault trying to pass it down to me because each generation should send forth something or bring forth something to the next generation according to the scripture now.
Right.
And that's why I refuse to utilize what I think, and I'll just go on what the scriptures say. You know what I mean? And if I don't know the scripture, it's one thing. But if I do know it and I'm going on what I know now, because I already put when I was dumb, ignorant, didn't know no better, and I was young. But here come a guy that's older, that's got wisdom, and I should listen to him, see what he has to say. And, like the young guy say, hey, they died. They didn't have to do that for me. In other words, you shouldn't have done that.
He said, I didn't ask him.
Oh, man, it's amazing, man. I mean, it's just
being
young.
That was a statement.
And you're right, but Pastor Wallace, if I may interrupt, please, sir. You said, when you was young and dumb, you didn't listen either. You did what you wanted to do until you learned better.
I did when I was young and dumb.
Exactly.
That's what I said.
So they're young and dumb, and now you're trying to tell them something that they may have not a clue about. What about that?
I'm not going to tell them they're young and dumb, but see, this is not what I'm going
to. Excuse me, and I mean to interrupt you, sir. There may come a day where they learn the hard way, just like you did. And then they spread that to the next generation, sir. That's all I was trying to say.
All right. Well, it goes in order. That's why I said about the opinion. This is why I said about the opinion. I'd rather go on what the truth is when you utilize the scripture is what you utilize. And since I know that I did know the scripture, then I've done what I was supposed to do as a young, dumb, ignorant, not knowing any better kind of individual. You understand? Because had I known, I wouldn't have done those things. Now, I wouldn't call the next young generation young and dumb. I was just saying that's what happened to me. And then that's a personal thing. And so if this young guy
said that. And I would say it happens to them each and every day, baby. It does.
Hold on 1 second. Let him finish his thought there.
Because I don't know that. I just know that I know I had to deal with realizing that straightening something out, you know, according to the song, let's straighten it out. Okay, that means something must be wrong. You don't need to straighten out unless something is wrong. So if there's a generation that don't know any better, and then there's a generation that do, and if you withhold from them without reaching out, now if you reach out to them and they reject you, that's on them. But at least you was able to reach out by way of compassion because you wouldn't want it to happen to another generation of young people. That's what I would say. That's ministry to me. You know, I'm dealing with ministry now, though. You know.
Okay. Right quickly, go ahead, 8112. They won't go to Dr. Bell for that. What was going to say, 8112?
Yes, sir. I was just trying to say not to knock down what Pastor Wallace was saying. I agree to a certain degree. I agree to the fact that just like you had to learn and you're older now, and God bless you to have the wisdom to know the difference between the two. Some of these children in 2018 have never even been introduced to God in church or out of God, out of church. They don't know how to reach out and touch God. There's some games called themselves No Love.
All right.
How about that? There's a whole lot of people out here who don't know God for themselves, and it is up to the ministries if they can reach them like that. But it's not that simple. Some of you guys are making it sound like, with no disrespect, that their lives are so simple. A lot of these kids are fighting for their lives every day, sir, is all I'm trying to say.
Hey, 8112, I know I can speak with certainty for these gentlemen that are on air now. I'm speaking in general because we've been where the young people are confused about where they think they want to go. Now, what's interesting is when you listen to Lattimore's song, he says he sees a problem. So he directs the lady, and this is applicable to the young folks, sit down and talk to me. How am I going to fix a problem if you don't tell me what's wrong? Now, here's the breakdown. We've got generations, a generation 30 years, okay? We got two or three generations removed from the 50s and the 60s, and we got babies now who think they're in control, think they have enough knowledge and understanding to avoid the pitfalls of life that we all have been through already. They're the only ones that don't know it. They're the only ones that can't see it. But But that's an interesting dynamic, which is why I say I have raised the question, how did the civil rights really affect today? Let me do this. Let me go to, y'all listen to the question I asked Bevel. How would you characterize the plight of the disaffected since the civil rights movement? I think that that includes this young man, okay? How would you characterize, and this is his response, this is how Bevel would respond to that. All right, hold on one second. Yeah.
Most of us stick around and we see drug addiction and we see addiction facing with a huge winter. And we see droughts and we see violence and hate and we see poverty and all kinds of disorders. And we see the dread disease, AIDS, and many other diseases that are taking folks' lives. And we see an anemic and uninspired people, and we see young people, and we see drifting and unspiritual field churches, and we see an education system that's turning out people that cannot reason right, and we see an economy that is on the decline, and we have an ecology that is being polluted, and waters and atmosphere being destroyed, and we see our topsoil being lost of our land into the sea.
So clearly, there is something that needs to be worked out. Now, interestingly enough, Mama D, these words were spoken at least 30 years ago, but he's spot on in 2018. Would you disagree with him?
No, I would not.
Okay. I mean, that's what's interesting about it, is that not much has changed. And that's why I asked the question, how did it affect us, OutKast? Really, how can we take the most powerful lessons and successes that the older gentleman was telling the young and get him to be still, Pastor Waller, long enough to really benefit from it? Now, what I hear you saying, Mama D, is we don't want to use phrases that offend or demean or put them down. That's what I'm hearing in your comment. But
okay,
don't we have to call an ace to ace and a spade to spade?
Ace to ace is the king and the queen. It's the big card over both of them. And the spade,
okay.
And it is what it is.
There you go. Now, they may not like it, but it's real. And
it's real.
The truth
and
is,
my kid is real. I mean, I did. I had to speak the way I spoke. I had 5 sons. How can I sugarcoat? I can't lie to you and say birds and bees make honey because they don't. I can't lie to say stark drop y'all because I shared them pains by myself.
Right.
So
let me go back to
drop you off, and I ain't finna lie to them. If you get in them streets, you do wrong, you will pay for your wrongdoing.
Sure you
either
will.
You're gonna pay
sure
life for death or in jailment. I ain't coming to nobody's jailhouse to see nobody.
What?
That's
Wait
what I told
now.
You.
Wait a minute.
I had to sound harsh, sir, because I'm a little old me with 5 of them men, with my young men and boys as babies, started from the root to the tutor on my own. And I taught them that. And I thank God for Jesus. They have been very productive. Some made a couple of mistakes, not no penitentiary type, but they did what they done. Out there being young boys, so they got to protect their mama. Your mama going to protect her and y'all.
Okay. Well, now, let me take you back to what Pastor Waller was saying, his whole premise. His whole basis was that there is a proper order, right?
Yes, sir.
And the word if, Pastor, didn't it say if, my people? Pastor Waller,
you talking about the good Lord. I know who he talking about.
No. He's not just talking. Pastor Waller, you there?
Yeah, that's what I said, if, man, that powerful word. Yeah.
Who is it you talking about, guys or yours?
No, he's talking about, listen to you. Yeah, listen to what he's saying, Mama D.
I may not
what
understand,
saying,
Pastor.
Hold on one second. What I heard him say is that he's not choosing his own words, okay? And he's not trying to mince the word of truth.
Yes.
But he's relying on that which has been reliable since the beginning of creation, and that's
and
the word of God.
I understand that's what I just said. I was
okay. All right. So what he's let follow my thought for a second. So what he said, Mama D, is let's take this young man who said
mm-hmm.
told the old guy, I ain't telling him to do nothing for me. I ain't asking him to
mm-hmm.
do nothing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now that whole statement was out of order, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
And the old gentleman was offended because the civil rights and his movements and the sacrifices made meant everything to him. Meant everything
right.
to him. But what we heard from Dr. Bevel is that this problem didn't just start in 2018, though. It's been going on a while. Because he was talking about these things 30-some years ago.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Our problem. That's where. That's really where I want us to go tonight is realizing that this issue that we're facing didn't just pop out the sky. And of course, I don't
Thank
think y'all believe that. But I think there are
it.
A lot of people. Well, and I speak from experience of going to various community meetings and what have you with folk and what have you. And there's some people outcast. They heads in the cloud about what's going on in urban America, man.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
They got a serious misconception about what's real.
But Pastor, may I say something real quick to Pastor Wallace, please? Pastor Wallace, I was not trying to overlook, but I know you have a way of calming me down too. I'm not upset by no means. I just hate what's going on in our world today with the younger generation, but I can't do nothing by myself. My point to you is that if I said something that didn't sound right to you, I apologize, and I thank Pastor Dockery for coming and bringing it around where I fully got full understanding of what you were speaking about, sir. That's my point.
Okay. Thank you, 81. Let Outcast was going to say something. What were we going to say, Outcast?
I'm just silent. You know, I'm just listening. You know, but yeah, you know, their heads are in the cloud. You know, I mean, I talk to grown men. You know, well, in their 40s anyway. Give them good suggestions. They don't take it.
Right.
And they run right on out there and run up in the lap of the police officers. You know what I mean? We were talking last week. And I use an example when I was talking about manipulation, you know. Here's a guy on parole. And then when he got a car, I said, man,
you know,
I mean, I just ran it down to him. Okay, what happened last night? No real pike and got pulled over. Rolled him up a citation. You got to court. Go to court. Now you dance to their car's music. Now you got to go and pay it to the piper.
There you go.
You know, I mean, it's just not the younger generation. You know, it's the older people, too. Like you said, they have their head in the clouds, you know, and I don't want to come out. Now, this young guy that made this statement, in a sense, I think he was being sarcastic, you know.
He was. But he was sincere, too, though. He was. But he was being, that was a seriousness about it. You know what I mean? About where he was coming.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess he looked at it like, the older guy was saying that, you know, someone owed him something. And that's why he made his statement.
That's it.
I mean,
that's it.
Bottom line.
There you go, Outcast. I think the young man took it as if the elder was saying, you owe me and others certain respect and certain behavior, certain outcomes. And the young guy was saying, I didn't ask you to do nothing for me. You know, but at the same time, he thought he was being cute. You know what I mean? And that's where the sarcasm came in. What it speaks to, though, is the fact that even Pastor and Mama D said this, there are a lot of young people who don't have a clue to what the Word says, the Word of God says, nor what common sense suggests. That's what I'm really concerned about, because there's a tendency to just get out there and do without even thinking, and you say things, you do things that are a total offense to others around you, and you expect them not to say nothing to you. You know what I mean? I'm going to give you a good example. I'm going to give you a good example of what I'm talking about. You walk around, even though it's the fad and the style, showing the crack of your behind because you think that's cute.
Right.
And ain't nobody's going to say nothing to you about it.
I will.
Well, I've seen this Pastor Waller in some churches, man. Dude, can't nobody say nothing to you, huh? You that bad, can't nobody say nothing to you. Man, if you don't go sit down somewhere.
They talk about slavery. They talk about slavery, but yet and still, you know, they go back and do exactly what you're saying. You know, there was a time, you know, when blacks didn't hardly have clothes. They wore a big bag of clothes tied up with ropes and things, and then because they didn't have a belt. Look, he is running around, you know, pants all down, no shorts, showing the crack of their butts. Goes back into what, pickaninny? Yeah, that's where it goes back to pickaninny.
I hope. Well, Pastor, what
were we gonna say? Well, I'm still standing on. I heard you earlier. That kind of stayed with me so strong because I remember when I wasn't considered his people. You know, and he says, "If my people who are called by my name," I stayed right there, and I couldn't get escape it because it took me back to when I was young. You know, and I know I didn't claim God. Say God was good to me. I didn't think, you know, thing. You know, so, and then I'm looking at the scripture today, and it says, watch out for people who cause division and upsets people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you have been taught. He says, stay away from them. Stay away from them. Such people are not serving Christ, our Lord, you know. They are serving their own personal interests. And watch this, by smooth talk and glowing words, they deceive innocent people. And I'm like, so who's going to encourage the young brothers and sisters who are caught up out there other than serving Christ? And if a person is not serving Christ, you can't speak Christ to them. So, you know, what was supposed to mean when I came up, it wasn't Christ, man. I mean, they weren't speaking that to me, apparently, because they didn't know it, apparently. You know, and you can't knock them. You can't knock them for what they was teaching. And if you went in and learned, because when the students show up, the teacher would appear. But when I showed up in the streets, the teacher showed up and taught me street life, you know, and I got captured. But I thank God, you know, for knowing that when you say, if my people, so now I can say, okay, God, I'm a part of you now. Tell me what you want me to do and give me some schooling because I'm going to need it to be able to tell people how good you are. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it doesn't matter whether they don't know it or not. It's just a matter of what you pass down to them, and if they receive it, like somebody might receive it. And if they don't, it's not your fault. It's like a watchman.
Right.
You know, a watchman is responsible for passing down good information. And today I'm dealing with that man, and so I thank you for the scripture, basically, because it made a lot of sense. You know what I mean?
Well,
it made me realize I'm either here or I'm not.
Pastor, two things I heard in your comment, and that's the prevalence of ignorance and apathy.
Yeah.
You know, it's bad enough that you don't know, but what's worse is that you just don't give a darn. You ain't trying to find out. Okay?
Yeah,
God forgive you if you are ignorant towards what you guys are talking about. He does do that.
Yeah, well, you say God forgive you. Is that what you said?
If you are ignorant to what you guys are speaking upon, there's a lot of people that I'm illiterate about computers, but I'm trying to find my way with it at 54 years old. So therefore, if you don't know what you don't know and you ain't willing to learn because you set in your ways, as all of us has been at a certain point in our life, maybe there now, how do you reach those people?
You know what? That was a good segue, because I was going to pose that question to Bevel. These are one of the questions I asked him. Given the challenges that we face today, how should we approach the problem of ignorance and apathy, particularly in urban America? Listen. I'm glad you said that, 8112. Listen to how he would approach that right quickly.
You cannot solve a problem if you do not understand the nature and the cause of the problem. In order to solve any problem, you have to do an analysis of the problem, and you have to go back to the genesis and the cause of that problem. And so we have to go all the way back to the beginning to understand what is wrong. Because I don't care what you believe. I don't care what your opinion is. If you do not know the truth of what to do, and if you do not know the truth of what caused an error so that you are not doing what you're supposed to do, no matter what you believe, you can never come to do it.
That sounds like Pastor Waddle right there, don't it? What about that, Pastor?
Man, listen, man, I tell you, words are powerful, man, because as I said earlier, I'm listening and I'm thinking about, they talk about smooth talk. Man, mm-hmm. that them kind of words, man, could capture you, you know, right quick because they smooth talker. You know, I don't know about anybody else. Man, that's what gobbled me up. You know, listening to that smooth talk. You know what I mean? And so I'm grateful now to know that at least somebody is concerned enough to reach out, you know, to a lost generation of kids, man. And you know, when you get into a trap, brothers, when you get into a trap, man, and you think the trap is something to glorify, don't even know that it's a trap, and then right. No one have compassion on you, and no one have compassion on you, man, that's a terrible thing, man. I'm just glad, and I turn it back over to you after I say this, I'm just glad that there was a man that had compassion. Even though I couldn't handle what he said all at one time, so when he drove by, left out of the church, came out into the street and said something encouraging, it wasn't a lot of words he said, he let the window down, extended the invitation for me to come to church. Even though I didn't go, at least he was reaching out. And then the next thing I know, he came back later on, let his window down, and they still waiting. You know what I mean? I couldn't handle no 2-hour service or anything, but those are the few words, man. You know,
sure.
Stay with me no matter where I went at, how many days, weeks, months, and years, those words still stay with me. And then I finally made a decision to say, man, I wonder if God will do something for me. And that's when I went. And it had not been for this woman reaching out, I may not even be here right now, man. You know?
I get you.
Yeah, I'll still be caught up. So, you know, it's just the beautiful words, man. And they weren't smooth or smooth words or trying to gobble me up. Those were some powerful words that had to do with getting to know God for yourself. And I appreciate that man, for doing that. And so I do the same thing because of that. And if a person may not reach out, they may not respond right then. But at least I have to reach out. And not pretend like as if they don't deserve truth. You see what I'm saying? And try to belittle them.
Sure.
No, I can't belittle nobody in the world. But what I can do, I can appreciate knowing that that once was me. So let me do what that man done for me. He reached out to me. Maybe somebody may later on down the line may not even be here. And they change their direction, man. That would be a great thing. So we need to do more of that. I believe that, man.
Absolutely. Well, now, I'll tell you what, guys, there are three pillars to civil rights, really, when you frame it in the context of Frederick Douglass and what they were fighting for in the 50s and 60s. And the first one was freedom and liberation, and that was the 13th Amendment, right? The second pillar had to do with being treated with human dignity and honor and respect, right? That was the 14th Amendment. And the third was having the power to have your voice heard through the electoral process. Now, watch this, Outcast. What a lot of young guys seem to miss, unfortunately, is that if you get tripped up on the first pillar, watch what the 13th Amendment says. You can no longer force people into servitude against their will, except they be duly tried and convicted of a crime. When you get caught up with the crime thing, we can take away your what? Civil rights. And you won't even be able to vote no more if we get you with a felony charge. Ain't that deep? Ain't that deep?
Yeah.
It's a trap.
Sound like a trap to me.
It's a trap, man. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, don't lose.
No, go finish your thought. I want to hear your thought. I want to hear yourself.
Yeah. My question was this: stop Malcolm X from doing what he did, even though he was a convicted felon. You can still stand and fight, and your voice be heard. You know, the voting box, the voting booth. That's important. But your voice can still be heard, and you can make a difference at the end of the day.
Powerful point. It does stop your mind. That's what you're saying, Outkast?
Exactly.
It does stop your mind from functioning. Wow. Now here's the thing, though. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Fitz. I'm sorry.
I'm listening. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you kind of triggered me there. I was just going to say that when you think about it, Pastor, the nature of the trap is ignorance. That leads to I don't care and I don't, you know, and that's where the young man's mind was. You can do it for me. I didn't have to do it. I don't care nothing about it, right? Well, that's how you give yourself enough rope to hang yourself. And the truth of the matter is, what the text says, something about humbling yourself, Pastor.
Yeah.
And watch this. Shortly after, it says, then will I. Yeah. Watch the man. Wow. So it sounds like to me, there's some grown people outcast that hadn't humbled themselves to certain realities yet. And maybe that's why the babies messed up like they are.
Exactly. And they're very, a lot of them, they are very radical. I mean, very radical.
Oh, man.
And they end up in the penitentiary for the rest of their lives. You know, and about the only thing that they can throw up is, in 400 years. Well, okay, this 2018, now what? You know, the rights that they didn't have 400 years ago, they have those rights now. But they take them, throw them in the trash. You know,
a young lady asked me a question while I was in Antioch a couple of days ago. She says, I was registering her to vote, Mama D. She said, so what you think about the guys, the felons that can't vote? Don't you think they should have their rights restored? I said, yes, they should. I asked her, are you aware of how they can go about doing it? Well, yeah, but that's not fair either. I said, well, listen to this. Watch this out, guys. The catch is that if you got caught up in the trap, right, you did time, you got the charge, you have to stay clean for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
That means this goes back to what Outkast was saying about your mind. Just because you tripped once before don't mean you have to fall in that same hole again.
That's right.
And if you use your mind to stay clean, it may take you time, but in the process of time, you'll be able to even wipe that out the way. But what happens with a lot of guys is they rationalize, well, since they took it away from me now, I might as well go in deeper, you know, because I got to survive and I'm going to hustle, get my hustle on. Well, you're only making it worse for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You're repeating the cycle for yourself. And so I was trying. So I hope she understood what I was saying. Yes, if they have stayed clean, they've done the right things, they can go and apply for expungement. You know, have that expungement, and they can actually vote again. Mm-hmm. But
and pay those court costs.
And pay the court. Right.
Pay those
court. Take care of your business, right?
That's another catch. Pardon me?
Right. Take care of your business, right?
Yeah. Right. You know, I mean, I can go and get mine restored, you know, but I see it like this right here. Man, look, before I give y'all $10,000 to $15,000, I keep it moving. Because it's not just detrimental to me. See, now here's the power of the mind. Now here's the power of the mind at work again. Look, I can talk to people. You know, in general conversation. Well, this is a good person to vote for. Blah, 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 blah. See, this is him works more than one way. Now, when they said that, they were thinking only sending them to jail. But I have a voice. Mm. You know, people have a voice now.
Right.
There was a whole lot more, and they had a voice, and they used that voice. See? So you buy. And you keeping me out the ballot box, I'm going to send more into the ballot box. And hopefully get someone in there that's going to do the job that has more ethics. But that's the power of the mind.
Think about that.
Well, that's a
thing. I thought you had Don on there too. I respect.
No, he hadn't called in yet. He hadn't called in yet.
I'm laughing because you mentioned his name.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. Well, you all let him know that we did give room for the conversation that was important to him. Yeah, whenever he calls in, I want to be fair. You understand? But let me ask this question, Pastor Waller. Now, the framers in the Declaration of Independence told this tale. It sounds sweet too, man. It sounds good. Said we hold these truths be self-evident, right? Now,
yeah.
I want to know, Pastor Waller, I'm going to ask Bevel this question, then I want you to respond to it after he responds. Who gives the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Who can offer you? Say what I got.
You know.
Wait a minute now. Who can give that to you? I mean, let's
God Almighty.
Thank you. I can't say it again.
Let me shut up.
Say it one more time.
Y'all,
I'm trying to be quiet now.
See, y'all clowning. Well, hold on. Listen to what Bella said. Then let's come
say
back.
It again. Hold on one second.
The same rain came down, you know,
the floods came and the wind blew and beat against this house, but the Bible says it failed. You know what I mean? And the great was the fall. And the reason why it failed, because it was not built on a solid rock. So it don't matter how you look and how you sound and how you feel, is what you're built on. What is your foundation built on? Is it faith? And that's what we need in the world. We need people, you know, out in the world to recognize that there's some people that look just like you, but yet still, it's a difference, man. You can't pretend like you're walking upright. If you're walking upright, it's gonna be inside of you. And if you're not, you understand what I'm saying? You don't have to pretend. It's like, help me. Somebody help me. I need some help out here. You understand? And that's the way I just holler for help, man. You know, since we pretended, I hollered for help, man. And that's what I had to do. You know what I mean? I don't care how you dress up. I'm dressed up as well, but still, I don't know God, you know? So somebody help me. I'm out here. So who cares? Do anybody care? And that's what the communities and the people out in the communities right now are doing with their walk. Do anybody care about us?
I want to know I care, first of all, Pastor Wallace.
Okay.
That's beautiful.
I understand where you're going with that, but if I may humble myself just a crumb, not too much. I understand what humbleness is, and I'm going to tell you a story, if I may, please.
Okay.
I was watching Beauty and the Beast today, and he was ugly. He was a beast. But this girl's heart was so pure. And he kept coming to her in the vision of a prince that she fooled around and fell in love with. Make a long story short, it wasn't by the eye. It was what came from her. And when she shed a tear on him, he turned back into the prince that she fell in love with. Didn't even know it was him. That's my point. All the times what you see is not what it appears to be. And there's going to come a day, and the day is here right now. You will be judged by your heart and your inner spirit, not your outer spirit. I'm done with that.
Yeah,
I feel my help coming on then.
What about that, Brother Preacher? Did you feel your help, Mama D?
All right. She said major things. She said it ain't what it looked like. And that's what them houses looked like.
It was not what it appeared to be in her vision of her eyesight. It had he said, "Will you marry me?" She said, "No, I don't love you." But she found and fell in love with that prince, and having no knowledge.
Mama D, you know what he did, don't you? He put that Mac on her. She couldn't help herself.
No, he didn't force her to do anything she didn't want to do. It had to come strictly from her heart, from him to unbecome that beast and be the prince that he was. And she had to fill it within her soul. That's how God was. Ooh, all right now.
Well, Pastor, you raised a great question, Pastor, in your comment, your last comment. It really has to do with when should concern people. Should we wait on a feasibility study? Should we wait on the governor, maybe the president, the mayor, senator? Should we wait on somebody else to make the change of our social circumstances in order for our lives and those around us to be better? And I pose to Reverend Bevel, let me see how he responds to it right quickly, and because I think that is really key. The problem that we're facing is ours, nobody else's. And if you're waiting on somebody else to fix your problem, it may never get done. It may not ever get done. Just for a second, let's listen to Bevel for a second.
Call us to act correctly, not after we die and go to heaven, but in the now. We must be righteous in the now. Not tomorrow, in the now. We must be able to do the right things, the right way, for the right reasons, and get the right results.
sir.
Possible? Is it possible to have a slave mentality in 2018?
Yes, slave mentality will never go away. You know, well, I wouldn't say never, but hopefully it'll disappear. Hopefully, You know, because I mean, you know, like the majority of the people's minds locked up in slavery anyway. You know,
wow.
So, I mean, you had that slave mentality. You know what I'm saying? The Ku Klux Klan, you know, they recruit black folk to help them do their deeds. So I mean, you know, what it is, what it is.
No, Bevel hurt my feeling in his response when he suggested that perhaps I'm waiting on heaven for things to get better. Pastor Waller.
Yes, sir.
Your goal? Is heaven your goal each and every day?
Man, I mean, that's my stride, brother. I just have to say the only reason why it is, you know, it's because there's a difference from heaven and then and hell. So it's one or the other. And as I am as a believer, I've heard people may say there ain't no heaven and ain't no hell. Okay, well, just in case it is, that's my stride. You understand what I'm saying? You know, and then to be a slave, I'm okay with being one myself because I'm gonna be a slave for one or the other. I'm a slave for righteousness. I used to be a slave for unrighteousness. So I'm going to be a slave for one or the other, you know. And that's the thing about it. It's like, choose you this day who you will serve.
Right, right.
And
right.
So, you know, and the Word of God does say something about slavery according to just that order. You know, I appreciate knowing that I can be a slave for righteousness. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
Just like I was a slave for unrighteousness, man. So now I got to choose. Which one am I going to be a slave for? Because I'm going to be a slave for one or the other. And I just decided to just appreciate being free from being a slave from that unrighteous way of living, man. I mean, that thing, that was too strong for me. I couldn't handle it, you know. And so there's no need in me pretending like I like to go back that route. Even though it looks good, like we're doing it. A good deed over there, but that's looks and it sounds, but it's really not. So I'm grateful to know that my practice is I'm practicing righteousness and I'm a slave for it, man. You know how, let me say this and turn it back over to you. To be addicted to something, that means you got to have it. You know?
Okay.
See, I know what it was like when I had to have that unrighteous stuff that was destroying me. Now, I'm addicted to what the Word of God speak to me. You see, I'm addicted to the ministry. So, it's cool. There's nothing wrong with it. I was addicted to the unrighteous stuff. What's wrong with being addicted to the righteous things now of life? And see, that, you know, I just can't see, man, you know, being ashamed of what has been given unto me that I didn't have before, you know? And it's like, okay, when I leave up out of the church house, I'm not going to mention nothing about the will of God because the world don't want to hear it. Man, no way I can do that, brother. That's saying, God, I don't care about you when I leave out of that building. I got to get with the world's way, you know, versus my practice have to continue and remain, you know, what I have learned. Man, he's teaching me each and every day. Yeah, heaven is my goal, brother, and I just refuse to believe that hell I came up out of is worth going back to. I just don't believe it, man.
So here's the question. Here's the follow-up. When do you act to improve? When you get to heaven or right now?
Now.
Okay,
here, brother.
Okay. Don't wait till you die to go to heaven.
No, brother. I don't know if I'm going. I got to sit down at the judgment seat of Christ anyhow. I don't know if I'm going nowhere. You know what I mean? I'm just sad. I don't care how much I think I'm doing good and everything. I still got to sit down at the judgment seat. You know, that's what I was told now. You find out whether I've done good or bad. You know, I got to sit down. They don't care what I say. I mean, you know how I say that I've been a fool before? You understand? And I just told you I'm practicing righteousness. Still got to sit down at the judgment seat of Christ, man.
I see.
To find out which route I'm going. So I'm cool with that.
Well, let me ask Mama D this question then. Mama D, would you believe me if I told you I called heaven the other day and I asked them if they still had a reservation for me?
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't believe me?
No, I would not.
Well, I did check with the text, and it said that a time is appointed for man to die. Huh, Mama D? And then
yes,
it said after that comes the judgment. Huh?
There's a time from the day God gave your mother, not no father, a mother.
All right. Okay.
To birth you into this world. And after
right.
that day, it became your birthday. As of that day. Sorry.
And
the
what?
Day he gave you a point to die, you don't even know. But
wow.
I do believe this. I believe this. And whether y'all think I'm right or wrong, it's what I believe.
Okay, Tyler, tell
the day you going to die, if everybody knew the day that there was a point to die, then it is what it is, because I don't think he told you what day you was going to die, and he didn't tell your parent what day they was going to give birth to you.
Okay,
and doctors
okay.
can only figure out a roundabout time. Some come late, some come early.
Right.
It is what it is. So,
well,
therefore, you do the best you can do the best you while you here on earth, because I do believe this too. You will be judged.
Okay.
By your
okay.
right and your wrong.
Okay.
And the goodness that you do and the badness that you do. And the life
right.
you sow, yes, so you reap. I believe
what
that.
Is though? All right.
Sure,
all right. Well, now, yeah, I say this about it, Mama D. Now,
yes, sir.
Ever since I come in the world, I feel like somebody's been pulling on me. And it looked like I'm being pulled close to the ground every day. And the doctor, when the doctor slapped me, I got so mad, he took off running. Because, man, you better not let me catch. I'm still looking for him right now.
Heck no. What you say? What you say?
We're just trying to laugh a fact into reality. And
I
that
know,
is
but it's
that,
serious, and it's so for real because there's nothing. You got to let the kids from crying sometimes.
Well,
and these kids
the
are in the bad state. These children are
go.
In the bad state
yeah.
because the things
that's
we
right.
went through, we cried at first. And now
sure.
as you become a little older, you start to try to laugh some of the pain away, but the pain
right.
it still
right.
exists.
Well, I would let me stick with what you were saying. That's what I would if I had to address this young man one-on-one, I would let him know, listen, I understand you don't see any relevance to what the elder is saying, but if you were in those shoes, you would have likely have a different perspective. But more importantly, he's done something right to live to be 8 decades old.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you can live to get old like him is not to fool around, run your mouth too much, and die young.
That's
now,
right.
You could say you could run your mouth to the wrong person, and they can end it for you right there, huh?
Yes, sir, and some people don't even run their mouth and die. As
well,
I told you,
yeah.
this is
that's
a hard one for me. It's very
yeah.
hard for me. In a few days, it's going to be the anniversary of my son's demise because someone chose
okay.
to take life they didn't give him. God gave him
okay.
that life. I gave birth
okay.
to him, but God gave him that life.
All right.
And I
okay.
changed that. So my point is, it happens to some that's doing the right thing. It happens to
mm-hmm.
some that's doing the wrong thing. How can we calculate who's, because when it's out there like that, by the popo, they're going to make it sound the way the hell they want it to sound. Excuse my French, but I am who I am.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to make it sound the way they want it to sound. So it goes back to a certain degree of their politics. It don't work for me. All I said was that they have to be judged by God. And I'm going to try to not hate them.
All right. All right.
It's a hard
I
job.
Can't see that.
But I don't
that's
hate them.
Thing.
I don't
that's
know them, and
thing.
I don't like them either. I'd rather have my child.
Right. Yeah. I got you. I got you. I got you. Let me pose this question to Outkast, last question for the night. And let's hear from Bevel. Huh?
I said he may can help me right now. Let
okay.
him talk.
All right. All right. Well, I'm going to ask Belva to respond and get a recap from Brother Housecat.
I can't hear Belva. I'd rather hear our cats. I cannot hear that man on
well,
the thing.
Hold on, baby. Wait a minute, baby. You got to listen a little harder, man. You got to listen a little harder now, okay? Just hold on 1 second. So the question is, in 2018, Outcast, what does this time calls for us to do? I'm gonna repeat it for you, Mabati. You just hold on. Hold my hand, okay? Don't you let my hand go, and everything's gonna be all
yes.
right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray,
You see what I'm saying? There's power in prayer. He may not come when you want him to, but he's always on time. It's what I used to hear folks say in church, but I wanted to find out what does that mean. And then I found out for myself that Isaiah 40 and 31 said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. See, sometimes we need strength just to hold on and to know that help is on the way, man. Because other than that, if you look at what it looked like out of here, it's no hope, man. But he said, walk by faith and not by sight, man. Yeah, man, I have to do that. I mean, that's the only way I can make a stand is that I just, you know, I know what the world's way is, out of sight, out of mind. I don't believe unless I see it. You know, that mentality, man, is powerful. It's strong. And it's got a takeover spirit to it. But when you're stepping into the will of God and go according to what he said, he said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. So I just keep feeding that spiritual man inside of me, saying, brother, you know, don't give up on the hope, man. Keep fighting the good fight of faith each and every day, man. So that's where I'm at with you, brother.
All right. I want to answer the first question of the day, and that is, how did the civil rights movement affect urban America? When we think about what the word affect means, it means what kind of impression or feeling or what sort of drive did it cause, right? And when I think about the young man and the old man, I realize that in 2018, the effect of the civil rights movement for too many young people is dismal. It's almost like it doesn't exist. And I want to say that with all due respect, because the elder, not necessarily him personally, but as a whole, we fail to teach our young the things that we learned that got us this far. That caused
right.
us to be further behind.
Right.
So I have to conclude that the effect of the civil rights movement on this present generation collectively, not everybody now, but collectively, is little to nothing. It don't mean anything. That's why the little dude said, you didn't do it for me. I ain't asked you to do it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That's what we have to work to change. If I had to conclude on any thought, it would be that we have to make sure that all of the lessons of history, as Outkast said, I believe that was Frederick Douglass said, that if you don't learn from your history, you're doomed to repeat it. There are so many things that can be instructional, but you got to be humble too, Pastor. Sometimes, and I knew this growing up in the projects, you go for so long giving the impression that you're hot, your bravado, so won't nobody, you know, cross you the wrong way, that sometimes you got to be broken like a horse, huh? Let you know you ain't that bad now. All the Billy Bad rappers, either in jail or in the grave. Ain't nobody that bad. Can't nobody do nothing with you. How about that? No, okay. You know, that's a show. That's a stunt. That's why y'all hear me often use the analogy of a 6x6 room. Because in there's an equal playing field, basically. And the winner is the one who has the sharpest mind. 8112. When we get our babies to use their mind as their greatest weapon, they'll realize that these 9s and these AK 47s and all these other weapons and what they don't amount to little nothing. Because all they got to do is catch you when you're passing gas at night and slobbing at the mouth. And then what good is it for you? Huh?
Oh, man.
You talking to Ms.
When you get real hungry. Go ahead, 8112.
All right, now you're talking to me. You done touched my level. as I say, I've always been very, very open, verbally spoken with my sons and their friends as well. And I watch these young men grow, not just mine, others as well. I'm not saying I'm no perfect mother because I've made mistakes along the way, but I have firm 10 toes down. And I taught their friends, and their friends right today, and some of their other friends come. And when I see them doing something wrong, I still stand ten toes down. You got to stay consistent. You can't say it one day and stop the next day. You still got to stand ten toes down. I don't care
right.
who it is.
Okay.
You still have to
okay.
stand ten toes down. And if you can't do that, don't say nothing to them because you're going to disrupt their life even worse. The old lady told me this or mama said that. And
right.
it's going to change their way and their outlook as far as I'm concerned. I can learn a lot of things, and may not came from a book, but it came from my heart.
Okay. That's a good point. That's a good point. I've been asking myself, guys, Lord willing, that I assume the 19th senatorial seat for Tennessee in the state legislature. What do you do with it? How do you take the conversation?
You're going to wear it like a crown on your
head. Well, bless
your
heart.
You earned it. You're going to wear it like a crown on your head because you earned it.
Okay. All right.
And
you're going
to get it. You're
going
to
get it.
I just told me to tell you that. You going
right.
to get that. You earned
I'm
that. You worked
that.
Hard. And as
I'm,
hard
I'm gonna,
as you work, sir, you've done your due diligence. And you gave out
you,
what you have. You getting back what you put in. And you're going to get
okay.
it back, and God going to bless you, and you're going to be glorious. And it's not
all
just
right.
about money. Because you're going to reach
right.
so many people. You don't even know how you've inspired me. Through some of the darkest times, as well as Pastor Wallace, the darkest times that I've been through here lately. Lately.
Okay.
Not to mention the other part I ain't said nothing about. So if you touch me like that, and I'm on here, imagine how many other lives have you guys have touched. You're doing a fantastic
well,
job.
Well, thank
Both
you.
Both of you guys.
You.
All of you guys. Insane, ludicrous, whatever the heck I call it.
Which one are you, man? I don't even know who
but
you
I
are.
Like
are you ludicrous,
not,
insane, or what?
It's debated, but you guys are doing a hell of a job, and I thank God for y'all.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I was just going to say that the conversation, you all, I have to give you all the credit because it's this conversation that really needs to be translated into action and change. And when I think about where we missed out, Pastor, I see where the gaps mm-hmm. are. I see where the gaps
yeah.
are. And there's an opportunity for us to really fill those gaps because the truth of the matter is the Bible says the wealth of the wicked is what, Pastor?
Laid up. Laid up.
For the who?
Yes.
For the who, Pastor?
For the judge. It's laid up
they
for the judge.
Some of, and they got some of my money up there in the state capers. And I'm just going
yeah.
to give my money and give it back to my people. That's all.
Right.
Before I get your money.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, ma'am. the wicked
some.
Got my money. The wicked got my money. And I believe the word of God when it says that the wealth of the wicked. It's laid up. They got laid up right now, waiting on me to come get it. Outcast, you want some? How much you want,
up,
man?
You just found out?
No, I'm just saying. How much you want, Outcast?
As much as I can get.
I don't want your money. I want your love and support. I don't want
well,
none of your money. I want
no,
your
listen,
love and support.
Hey,
all
hey,
money
ain't hey, 8112. This ain't my money. This is your money that's laid up. In the hands of the wicked.
Let it stay laid up, because if it's wicked, but I want
it. Well, Pastor, I'll give you hers then.
If it's wicked, why would I want it? I don't want no wicked money.
The
dope dealers selling dope to kill people, help them kill the ones they send to support they butts, and that's the other people and doing what they doing, the legislation, some of them, they ain't talking about you.
Okay. Get a pass. You got a pass. You got a pass.
I want to get me. I'm here.
That's my girl, man. That's my girl, brother. That's my girl. Hey, I got her back, brother.
All right. Great conversation, guys.
Great. Yes, we got to hang up now. Why?
No, not yet.
I'll make
your
radio station. All right, Pastor. Come on.
Before you go, let me make this announcement. Thursday night, Lord willing, I have a spotlight that I want to do. I read a very powerful article the other night about a certain gentleman. And I said, wow, we talk about transformation, and that's the perfect, that's what we're going to be talking about, is making the transformation, you know. That's what we're going to talk about Thursday night, but I just wanted to drop that in you all and to our Facebook friends, you know. Tell your friends, come back. Make sure y'all come back and join us. Looked like we had a decent viewership of the last episode. But I want you to make sure you come back and check this one out, because Thursday night is going to be a powerful one, 7 o'clock there. So, but yeah, we're looking forward to a very robust conversation and information that we share there. Look at the time. Look at the time, man. It looks like we are just about down to the wire here. 8112, give me a final thought before I give it to Pastor Wallace.
Yes, sir. I think you ought to ask them people to give you 2 hours instead of one. I think that you guys are doing a heck of a good job, and I think
it takes
a bit more time for you to reach a whole lot of people. I think you're going to be blessed, and that's what I can say. You're going to be blessed.
Thank you so much. I received that. In the spirit in which it was given. All right. Well, Pastor, give him a final thought here, man. Look at the time, man. I don't know what you're doing with the clock.
man, once again. Yeah, man, that was quick. I got it again. It wasn't intentional, but it was just good to go. You know,
okay,
you've all been doing good. Yeah, you've been doing very good. I enjoyed everybody that had a chance to talk, and for those that had a chance to listen, you know, one thing I'd like to share with us as we leave here, according to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 16. And it states very clear, it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. I think this is one of the greatest need him now. So all we have to do is be bold enough to take everything to him and leave it at his feet and watch what he's asking. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
Everything got
all right.
And leave it.
Well, we sure appreciate that. And Thursday night, we'll be back 7 o'clock for another episode of Talk Straight. Thank you guys for joining us here. And I'm going to tell Don, you filled in for him, 8112. I'm telling you, filled
in. I did.
All right, y'all be blessed.
All right. Okay.